Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter, Worldwide Podcasting Network and Car Wash. I'm here back in sunny Paris, and here with my friend and colleague and partner on Cut Jib Newsletter, JJ Sefton. Sefton, how are you doing today?
Bonjour, monsieur. I am doing very well, sir. And just a little bit of personal privilege, if I may. I know a lot of people are asking about my personal health situation. I just want to let them know that I'm had yet another MRI the other day, and again, I am cleared. I'm negative and doing well. So thank you for all your prayers and good wishes. It certainly does help. So it's much appreciated. So we're doing well.
That's always good news. I'm trying to think of a risque joke about the MRI and only one hand on your shoulder. I don't know. Never mind. I'll stop.
Well, I was going to say, brain cancer is a big pain in the ass.
There you go.
There it is. It
Anyway,
might
folks,
literally.
we're gonna try to keep this relatively short. I think Sefton and I both have plans today. So I think the first thing we should well. The first thing I would like to talk about is this little dust up in the Indian subcontinent. India and Pakistan are going to go at it. How hard, how fast, and with how many nukes is a question that only they can answer. The newest cause de guerre, yeah, I guess cause de guerre, who the hell knows, is a Pakistani affiliated terrorist group murdering 26 or 28 Indian tourists in Kashmir. That's the disputed territory between India and Pakistan. It's typical Islamist violence or Islam's violence, and India had enough of it, and they slapped the Pakistanis around very, very recently, and Pakistan is going to retaliate. And how far this goes is anyone's guess. Sefton, you got anything to say about that? Because I
Yeah,
think
I
it's a
mean, basically, it is the Kashmir is disputed, but India and Pakistan have been this has been going on. These kind of terror attacks in Jammu and Kashmir or whatever have been going on for a long, long time. And India and Pakistan have had wars. I think like three or four different
yeah.
wars going back many decades. And of course, Islam on the march has been going on for 1,500 years. And any unbeliever, especially Hindus, Buddhists, Jews, Christians, anybody else is fair game to them. So, but as you mentioned, both of them are nuclear armed states. And whether or not they'll use nukes is who knows. But I mean, India really slapped them very hard going after water supplies and some very, very crucial and strategic targets as punishment. And this is definitely probably the biggest escalation that I can think of, at least the biggest dust up that I can remember in at least maybe 50 years since going back to the war of for Bangladesh, which that was like 1970 or 71. So this is really we're, this is definitely not good. And also the fact that India is more or less aligned with the United States, and Pakistan is in league with both Red China and to a greater or lesser extent with Iran. And both of those two are neighbors of both India and Pakistan. So this is a really dangerous situation.
Yeah, I agree. It's an interesting part of the world. It's way and people should take a look at a map of this. But Kashmir and Jammu, I don't know how to pronounce it. They're way up in the north, between I guess Afghanistan, Pakistan. No, it would be Pakistan and India, obviously, and then to the east has got to be China, right?
Yeah, China and Iran are both border both Pakistan and that are in that region. And to the north are the Red Chinese.
Yeah, well, to the yeah, no, that's those weird shit canistans to the north. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The thing is that this is obviously in microcosm, maybe not so micro, a confrontation between the Islamist world or the Islamic world, because Islamist and Islamic really don't have much difference between the two of them, and the Western world, India. For better or for worse, does represent some of the more benign aspects of Western culture. They're certainly trying to grow their economy. They're certainly trying to pull their people out of the out of the Bronze Age, I guess. They are trying to become a modern country, and I in many places they are. With 1.5 billion people in India, they're not going to do it quickly. And there is desperate poverty in India, but in comparison to Pakistan, it's another world. It's also a much bigger world. I don't think people realize, Pakistan punches above its weight when it comes to causing trouble in the world. But its GDP is a tenth that of India. India has 3 times the military personnel. And it's got a robust technological base. So whether it's as good as the United States, probably not. Clearly not, in fact. But it is a much larger, much more successful, a much more technologically advanced country than Pakistan. So the only thing that makes Pakistan important in this issue is obviously their nuclear weapons. And I think that, how do I say this politely? I think that if a nuclear exchange occurs here, it will probably be a good thing if, I'm going to stop. It's not going to be a good thing, but it's going to push Islam back on its heels because I think Pakistan will lose. Boy, this is a tough one. I don't want it to turn nuclear. But if it does, it might push Islam back, and that is a good thing for the world.
Yes, but at the same token, on the flip side of that is that, as we all know, Iran is pushing hard for nuclear weapons. And despite the fact that there is a, I think, are both nations Sunni? I know I made this mistake, but be that as it may, it's gonna make the mullahs in Iran that much more desperate to get their hands on nuclear weapons. Because while this is going on in India, with India and Pakistan, we have Israel smacking the living hell out of the Houthis, who are either aligned with or being controlled by the Iranian mullahs. And while that's going on, Donald Trump is making noises about Iran must be prevented from having nuclear weapons. And so we are, this
Yeah,
is, yeah,
it's getting.
this is terrible.
Yeah. By the way, P Pakistan, I think, is Sunni. Iran is Shia. But in any confrontation with the West, the Shia and the Sunni will cast aside their differences and fight the West. It's only later on that they will murder each other. So, anyway, yeah. I'm trying to think through my point, and I can't really. I just think that if Islam loses, that's a good thing.
I totally agree. It's just, just trying to look at the pieces on the risk board and see potentially, or, try to read the tea leaves of the intentions of all the players involved and what possible moves there could be next. But once that nuclear genie is out of the bottle, it's like, oy.
I wonder why nuclear weaponry has been placed in this unique position. I really don't understand it. The power of a nuclear weapon is awesome, but the vast majority of them are tactical nuclear weapons, which are simply the equivalent of, a night of carpet bombing from an Air Force. And we demonstrated that in World War II. The damage done to Hiroshima and Nagasaki was profound, but was dwarfed in comparison to what happened to Tokyo, and Dresden, and you name London for that matter.
Nuremberg, yes,
Yeah,
absolutely.
so I think the difference, of course, is it happens all at once, rather than over a couple of nights, or actually nowadays a couple of days of missile launches. Again, I'm not trying to downplay the awesome, and when I say awesome, I mean large, not good, the awesome power of nuclear weapons. But it's just puzzling how odd it is that they are placed in this unique position.
Exactly. But,
Okay, well, I'm managing to kill the discussion. Maybe I should just shut up.
Sad eye.
Well, speaking of dust-ups, Israel has called up a bunch of reserves, and they are formulating plans to take all of Gaza rather than what they are doing currently, which is these surgical strikes into individual neighborhoods. The plan, as of right now, is that they will take all of Gaza and they will clean it up neighborhood by neighborhood and destroy the entire infrastructure that Hamas has built with Western money over the last 20 years. And I think it's a very, very good plan. I think, unfortunately, that means that the hostages will be killed sooner rather than later. The pipe dream of Israel that they can get back the hostages, all of the hostages, is just that. It's a pipe dream, and it won't happen. Hamas will never give back all the hostages. They need to be forced to do that, and those hostages will probably be killed, and Israel will be recovering bodies, which is a noble thing, and part of the Israeli and Jewish psyche, the reverence for humanity, dead and alive. Anyway, they're timing it for the end of Donald Trump's visit to the region. I think he's going to Saudi Arabia, so they're going to give Hamas another, 5 or 10 days, and then they're going to go in. What do you think? Is it a good idea or is it a bad idea?
No, it's we've been dicking, the Israelis have been dicking around with these animals for far too long, and I hate to say it, I mean, if the poor hostages, what's left of them, I think there's what, like, not either reports of 9 of them left, or there were some released actually, so there's either 9 left or 20 left, I'm not sure,
Well,
but
they have
considering.
about 60 or 65 hostages, and about 25 of them are alive. That's what I
It's just,
thought.
yeah,
I might be
yeah.
wrong.
It's just it's ridiculous. I mean, you can't negotiate with these animals. They don't want to be negotiated with. They want to wipe out like every Muslim. They want to wipe out every non-believer, especially every Jew on the planet. And you're never going to negotiate with them. You're never going to get. They want all of Israel. They want all the Jews out of what they consider, quote unquote, this fictitious land of Palestine, which never existed, and a fictitious people of Palestinians that never existed. And that's the way it is. It's same old story, just another chapter, but it is. I mean, the fact that Israel even gave up, I mean, that Sharon or whoever it was back in 2005 agreed to for this land for peace nonsense was just, that was you knew that was going to be ridiculous from the get-go, and here we are 20 odd years later, and I'm not Nostradamus, but we saw this coming. I mean, anybody who could knew what they were dealing with saw it coming, but the Israelis didn't. But God bless them, any chance to have peace. And I'm sure the American government at the time, whatever it was, maybe it was the Bushies or the Clintons, surely strong-armed them into acceding for this to this madness of this peace process,
It is
knowing
madness.
full, yeah.
That's the perfect word, Sefton. And anybody uses any other word is deluding themselves. The madness, of course, is that Israel goes in, cleans up the mess, and then 3 years later, there's another massive terrorist attack. They go in, they clean up the mess. 3 years later, it has to end. The
Yeah, because
Douglas
it,
Murray just sp spoke of this. It was, he's constantly being interviewed, and he's a fascinating guy, by the way. Anybody who wants to see a tremendous intellect in action, vociferously defending Western culture and Israel, listen to Douglas Murray. But anyway, he made the point
agreed.
that this doesn't need th this has to be the last war in Gaza. This has to be the last war in Lebanon. It can't be, the 12th of an endless series. Israel has the opportunity now to fundamentally change their neighbors, and they have to do it.
Right, because leave. But the thing is that you have this talk of leaving a quote unquote citizen leadership. What citizen leadership? When your citizens are terrorists or terrorist supporters or cheering on the terrorists or passing out the candy when the Twin Towers come down or the moral equivalent or when Jewish babies are roasted alive in front of their parents. What citizens? This has to change. Islam is not going to change. Islam is not going to reform itself. Unfortunately, for somehow there has to be Israel or whoever has to sit on these people and make sure that this never happens again. How they do that, that's beyond my pay grade. Who knows?
Well, Douglas Murray made the point. Again, I'm harping on Douglas Murray. By the way, I would love to get him on
He's
for
great.
15 minutes. I doubt he would ever come on our little podcast, but it sure would be fun. Anyway, he spoke about a comparison, and that is with Imperial Japan and the death cult that was Imperial Japan during before and during World War II. And I think it was a very, very interesting comparison because the Western world did change. This death cult that did change Imperial Japan into a pacified and pacific culture. Whether that is forever, I have no idea, but I don't see Japan becoming
No.
an aggressor anytime soon. The problem with that comparison between Imperial Japan and the Hamas death cult and the larger perspective of that is the Islamic death cult. Is that Japan wasn't just a death cult. Imperial Japan wasn't just a death cult. Japanese culture then and now valued things other than death in battle. It valued education. It valued many. Well, I can give you a list. And let's be honest, the average IQ in Gaza is probably a standard deviation to the left of the median, and probably two standard deviations to the left of Imperial Japan and Japan currently. So you're dealing with a much, much different culture and a much, much different society. They don't have the intellect to do anything else. And I know that sounds cruel and racist, and give me another word to describe that. Racist and homophobic and anti-third
Whatever.
world and you name it, and that's and I'm it. I don't really give a shit.
But
That
that's the
again, I
nail
think
on the
is
head.
that is
You,
an issue that is
yeah.
not being discussed. And that is that Gaza's a shithole, and it's a shithole because of the Gazans, not because of
Right.
Israel.
And the other thing is Islam. I mean, again, it's when we beat Nazi Germany, we denazified Germany. When we beat the Japanese, we had Douglas MacArthur and we occupied the country and we took over the school system. The only way you're going to prevent Hamas from ever rising again is by prohibiting the practice and preaching of Islam and by controlling the and by rewriting the Quran. And that, unfortunately, is a non-starter. It's just not going to happen. So, I mean, that's the only way I see it that it can happen, and that's how you break the cycle of violence, because the cycle of violence is the quote unquote quote religion, and the religion is their culture, and this is it, and it begins from the cradle to the grave, and unfortunately our grave, and it's been going on like this for 1500 years, at least to greater or lesser extents. Western society has been able to, except for the totalitarian bent and evil inherent in all human beings, unfortunately, sometimes or many, we've managed to burn this out of our society. The church, churches and other institutions, other governments no longer necessarily seek conquest by the sword and subjugation of others. I mean, yeah, I mean, the typical knucklehead college professors will argue that point, but it stands. I mean, unless Islam is reformed by itself or by force, we're going to be facing this again, sad to say.
Yes, it will be never ending. The question is, can it be reformed? The answer, I think, is no, as you pointed out. So the other answers are much less palatable than reformation. But let again, that's one of the things that I was talking about and fumbling around and making a horrible point about it when I talked about a possible nuclear exchange between India and Pakistan. If Islam is shown that the way forward is not martial, that the way forward is not the murder of the destruction of the West, then perhaps they will look for other opportunities and other alternatives.
And
But
you know something, I mean, just a cursory look at, let's say, the Persian society, maybe even to a lesser extent, Saudi society. You're looking at that. I mean, at least those people, I don't think they're nearly, or many of them, are Amin. They don't like the mullahs. They don't like this nonsense, and they want to live in a pluralistic society to a greater or lesser extent. And hopefully, that is the hope for the future, that these sort of forces take hold, whether in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, and then in elsewhere. And unfortunately, if it takes a nuclear bomb that levels Islamabad, well, so be it.
I wonder if they how ugly this is going to get.
Yeah.
Well, we shall see. I hope it doesn't. You know, it
It's sad. It's a sad state
yeah,
of
I
affairs all around, but
yeah. Anyway, let's move to domestic
yes.
stuff, and let's talk about Tom Tillis, shall we?
What a scumbag. I could probably leave it right there, but oh my
He
God.
yeah, folks. Yeah, as many of you know, he is the U.S. senator from North Carolina. I'm not sure, he's not the junior senator, is he? Who's the other one? He might be the senior senator.
Who is
Who's
the
the
other
other one
senator
from North
from?
Carolina? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It's not, oh goodness, this is embarrassing. But they're all freaking interchangeable. But
Yeah,
anyway,
unfortunately.
I don't know who it is.
Yeah, anyway,
To look in the
well, Sefton, why don't you describe what's going on here? So.
right. Donald Trump, God bless him, has appointed to be the, I believe, a prosecutor in D.C., a gentleman by the name of Martin, who was defending the January 6th protesters, as opposed to being described as the Trump-led insurrectionists, and he was trying to, he was defending them, and that they should be, obviously. All these charges, these horrible charges against them from the Garland Archipelago should be dropped. And Tom Tillis got all up in a huff, saying, I mean, he agreeing with the Democrat Party line that they tried to overthrow the government on January 6th and deny a legitimate Joe Biden election, which, as we all know, was a complete crock shit. It was stolen. And anybody who was protesting in the Capitol was basically peaceful, and anybody that was inside the building was let in and escorted in by the Capitol Police, who are controlled by Nancy Pelosi. There was no insurrection. If anything, it was an operation that was led by her and the FBI to make it look like there was.
Look,
And that's
I
where it
look.
is.
I'm gonna, let me stop you right now. I don't give a shit whether there was an insurrection. These people deserved to have attorneys. And if Ed Martin, that's the guy's name, if Ed
Good
Martin
morning.
was
Yeah.
one of the attorneys, so the fuck what? I don't think that has anything to do with anything. And by the way, Tom Tillis said that he would support Ed Martin for U.S. attorney, except for the District of Columbia position, which is insane on the face of it. It's an illogical comment. So what he is admitting is that it is an overtly political position, and he is playing politics. And the fact that he said that out loud is just amazing to me. I hope that Donald Trump destroys him politically. I hope that the Republican Party sees what a huge problem this is for them. And I hope that the good people of North Carolina vote this fucker out, because this is
Indeed.
pathetic. This is exactly what is wrong with the grand old party. This is exactly what is wrong with politics in the United States. This is exactly what is wrong with the judiciary in the United States, because they're being allowed to manipulate the political process. They're being allowed to appoint. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back up. If a U.S. attorney is not chosen, is not confirmed by the U.S. Senate, then the district court can appoint someone in its in their place,
And
which
guess
is
who gets to do
pathetically
the
bad.
appointing?
Yeah,
Guess
obviously,
who's the one that
Boasberg.
gets to appoint?
Yeah.
Right. It's unbelievable,
Yeah.
or believable, I should say.
Anyway, the influence of the judiciary is obvious here, and it's a terrible thing, and that needs to end. But let's get back to Tom Tillis. The people of North Carolina need to get rid of his ass. This is pathetic. It is a violation of everything that America has voted for over the past 8 years. And for him to support this sort of pathetic manipulation of the nomination process is awful.
Bingo. And he's got, unfortunately, he's got allies in the usual gang of idiots of like Murkowski and Collins, and I think Cornyn might even be
And
behind him.
McConnell.
And McDonald, oh my God, this
Yeah,
is just
McConnell. I'm sure.
McConnell. Well, yeah, and he's,
I
yeah,
mean,
because
if they
McConnell's on the
can
way out.
drag his senile ass into the Senate chambers to vote.
Which they will. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
they will.
GOP, grifting oleaginous parasites.
Yeah.
That's what they are, just slime. But I mean, we've got to get rid of them. This party has to be cleansed, and it's you know, whatever you think about Donald Trump and whatever, I mean, he has exposed not only the left, but he's exposed this party as basically the Renfields of the Democrats, because they have their snouts in the trough just as much as them, and they may not be doing things for political purposes, but they're doing it for just to get paid off and to be a part of the grift. They get their cut in the dismantling of America, and that's what it's all about, and it's terrible.
It is terrible. I don't know. All right, let's close out with something a little more edifying and a little more happy. You got anything? You lie to me, say you do.
Well, having, I mean, it seems as if you know, trade talks seem to be, I mean, well, this Merz character was elected in Germany, and he's a conservative, supposedly, at least
Yeah,
on the
he's not a
outside.
conservative.
I've heard, right, I've heard the varying stories that he's sort of a, you know, he's sort of a, you know, a, sort of a Merkel in drag, so to
Oh, he's
speak.
absolutely, yeah. He repudiated everything he said during the campaign about controlling illegal immigration and legal immigration into Germany. So he's, you know.
Right. Nigel Farage and his party seem to be actually doing relatively well. We'll see how that plays out. Romania is electing or trying to elect someone who is a someone in the MAGA mold, and you know, so there are rumblings around what is left of the free world, so to speak, that they've had enough of this shit, the same as we've had enough of it, and so that's certainly a positive, something to look forward to. Hopefully it takes, and may it keep on going.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but the Supreme Court held that
Yes.
the Department of Defense could, in fact, ban transsexuals, transgenders, you know, crazy people from the armed forces. Now, that is a temporary ban until the case is heard, but I think that it's pretty obvious that that the administration will get what it wants. There's no
That would,
rational reason to allow profoundly disturbed people into the armed forces, and why it's in the hands of the judiciary is a question for another day. What can be done in the long term to curtail the power of the judiciary in the United States? Congress has to act, and sadly, Congress isn't acting. They're allowing Donald Trump to govern the country through these executive orders that are temporary at best. So they need to get
yes,
off
it's
their
a,
asses and start voting these bills in.
exactly, and they're doing it for a double for two purposes. One, they don't want to they want their hands clean of it, and number two, they want Donald Trump to look like you know, and the imperial dictator that the left
Yeah.
claims he is by issuing executive orders. Which, of course, when Obama and Biden did it, nobody said boo, but that's another story, because you know, they're the defenders of our precious democracy. Ugh,
Oh,
vomit.
God.
I want to vomit
I'm
whenever I
so
hear that
sick and
crap.
tired of the word democracy. We are so lucky
Exactly.
we don't live in a democracy. It's unbelievable. If you look, just cast your gaze at Europe to see what happens in a democracy. It's awful.
Yep.
Listen, look at Israel. Israel is a parliamentary system, and it has huge, huge problems. And this is a country with existential external problems, and they still have these unbelievable squabbles in because of their parliamentary system. And for them to go ahead, sorry.
It's okay. I'm just moaning, just sighing to myself and to the audience. Anyway.
Here's another cheerful one. The Harry S. Truman has lost another F-18 into the Red Sea.
Oh
So
boy.
I know it's unbelievable. The
Another diversity hire, you know, must be piloting the ship. Women
yeah,
drivers, I don't
but
know.
you can't change the armed forces overnight. I think Hegseth is on the right track. I think that bringing back that martial spirit and bringing back that spirit of excellence that much of our armed forces has had for much of its history is a very, very good thing. And axing all of the other extraneous crap like DEI
Oh.
and the transsexual bullshit that they've tried to inculcate our armed forces with. But it's going to take a while for that to change.
Absolutely,
So,
it will. It certainly will, but it's
and
but hopefully the
hopefully we can get it changed before we have to fight a big war.
well, exactly. Well, all they'll be learning is how to raise the white flag to the red Chinese and grab the ankles. So there you have it, folks, or whoever. But yes, that is thank God Hegseth is doing a really fantastic job from all the articles that I've been reading and all the things that he's instituted. And he said he had a great thing. He said we have 200 four-star generals. We need to get rid of as many of them as we can and bring in, enlisted people who are competent. Amen, brother. Keep it up.
Yeah. So what else is going on?
Other than that, we have this, speaking of diversity, equity, inclusion, there's this supposed insanity with our air traffic control system that's going on. I think Newark Airport is the hardest hit at this point in New Jersey. But other than, I mean, who knows what the hell is going on? Is it the lack of air traffic controllers, which of course they'll blame on, the Trump and Doge and this and that? And it's like, oh, give me a break.
They have been DEI hiring for air traffic controllers for many years, and it has created a back not a backlog a deficit of competent air
Competence.
traffic controllers. They're talking about they need something like 3,000 of them, and it and their hiring practices are actually sort of tough. You have to be younger than 31 years old. Something like that, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, and I had heard this morning somewhere that they're so desperate that they're trying to bring back retirees. And obviously, if you're retired, you ain't 31, my friend.
Yeah, that it's going to be interesting. I flew back to Paris on Monday, and going through Newark Airport was very interesting because it simply was not as crowded as it usually is. And
Right.
I found that pleasant for me because it can be a shithole.
Right. On top of
But
that, we have
that
this
also
weird.
means that also
Yeah.
means that there's less, fewer flights is not a good thing.
No.
And United Airlines, which is the biggest company flying out of Newark, cut a huge number of flights because the FAA simply couldn't run it.
Yep.
So,
And now we also have this whole thing hitting with this, real ID
oh, don't get me
that's
started with
happening.
that. I've been trying to get one. I live in New Jersey, folks, and I've been trying to get a real ID since the end of last year, and
And you're still standing
I could
online at the
not
motor
yeah
vehicle bureau.
I could not get an appointment. I live in northern New Jersey, and I started checking DMV or what do they really call it? Motor Vehicle Commission offices. An hour and a half away because I couldn't find anything close, and I still couldn't get an appointment. I have to wait until my license is about to expire, and then they will give me an appointment to get a real ID. But that doesn't help me if I want to fly without my passport. Now, I'm lucky I have a passport, and I can, I'll be able to get on the plane. It's not a problem, but it's a problem for many people. Why should they have to get a passport? If the DMV is too fucked up to get them a real ID to create, the infrastructure to get people the IDs that they need. It's pathetic. And now I'm ranting about two things. One, New Jersey sucks. Don't move there.
No.
And number two, even the need for the real ID is something that disturbs me. I don't, it's a move toward a national ID card, and I really, really don't want that.
Yeah, meanwhile, any wetback, anyone from anywhere can go into a polling place and vote without presenting any form of ID whatsoever. But to get on a freak, but this, but of course now we have to switch over to this nonsense. I mean, dear Lord, it's just, You just shake your head before you stick it in an oven. Oh my God.
Ay vey. Well, I think there is good news, and that is that the Los Angeles Lakers are out of the, as far as I can tell, they are out of the NBA playoffs, and that means that LeBron James is out of the NBA playoffs. You don't give a shit about
Okay.
that, do you?
I could professional sports could really honestly, it's I the last time I cared about anything like that was God, I mean, maybe 20 years
Yeah, I
ago.
don't.
It's gone.
Excuse me. I don't really care
Colin,
either, but I just cannot stand LeBron James.
oh yeah,
So, yeah, he's
he's
pathetic. So
insufferable.
it just amuses me that
Insufferable.
he's out once again. That's all.
Good.
I
Okay.
couldn't tell you who's in that, by the way. So,
I have no idea. It beats the hell out of me.
yeah, it
But
is a little sad that professional sports has devolved to such an extent. You know, I used to follow it. I used to love baseball. I used to watch football every once in a while. Basketball never interested me, and it. But what they've done to baseball is really, really terrible.
It is over the years. Yes, it really has. Yeah, I mean, ever since the designated hitter, I said, oh boy, this is crap. And I never really watched the American League anyway because I was always a suffering Mets fan.
Oh, you poor
But
bastard.
hey, they you look those 86 Mets, God bless them. And then later on in the into the two early 2000s, with Jose Reyes and David Wright, I mean, they were fun to watch. It was good. And then after my dad passed away, and I have no kids, so I really have nobody to share it with anymore. So I've and then of course between Kaepernick, between the whole steroid shit and the jacking of the baseballs and home run nonsense, I just said forget it. These people are not worthy of my time and my eyeballs.
That's fair. All
So
right,
maybe
folks.
someday in
Well,
the future,
you got to
who
stop me. I can rant about this all day.
knows?
So, but
Right. And I think we've reached about the end of our limit here, and
yes.
we have other things that we must attend to. But I will just say once again, folks, God bless you all for listening and for your continued support. And we will see you again real soon on the next one. So CBD, wrap them up.
Folks, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.